Vidal Sassoon, the hairstylist who changed the way women looked in the 1960s, died last week in Los Angeles. He was 84 and had leukemia. Though Sassoon styled the hair of jet-setting movie stars and models, he grew up in a family so poor that his mother put him in a Jewish orphanage for several years. Sassoon is remembered for popularizing short haircuts that went with the miniskirts of the 1960s and for geometric and asymmetrical designs that complemented his subjects' facial features. He's also known as the stylist who gave women simple wash-and-wear styles that freed them from stiff, lacquered hairdos and wearing curlers to bed. Sassoon also created a chain of beauty salons and a popular line of shampoos and conditioners. Terry spoke to Vidal Sassoon last year when he published a memoir and was featured in a documentary film. Terry asked him about his first really famous haircut, which he gave to actress Nancy Kwan after she made her movie The World of Susie Wong. She had long, straight hair.
You know, I never looked at beauty as beauty. I always looked at bone structure and the way the face was created. It's quite fascinating for me. And I thought, we can do almost anything with Nancy. And I started to cut the very back of the hair, and I said, great neckline, I'll go shorter. And I went short in the back and graduated into more length at the sides. And I suddenly realized we had a bob that could be international. And it caught on. It caught on to the extent that people were coming in asking for it all the time. Not only with us, with many hairdressers, it had to be not only layered from the back to the front, but when she shook her head, it had to fall back naturally.
Now, did you set it at all, or was it just in the cut that it fell that way?
Oh, we never set those kind of heads. Setting was going out at the time. Far out.
So what did you think when the Sassoon spread to people like me who got their haircut in the neighborhood, you know, in the neighborhood salon, and it wasn't the work of art that that you had done, but it was a very popular haircut, very, you know, easy to take care of, look good. How'd you feel about the neighborhood cuts?
We were totally flattered, you see. It was you either create something and you keep it a secret, and you die with it. What's the point? If you can benefit a craft, and in essence, from that benefiting of the craft, you're doing something for fashion worldwide, I think that's so much more important. It's something that you leave behind that you probably will be remembered for.
When you started cutting hair, what were the hairdos that were popular?
Oh, flips, lots of lacquer, which was very difficult. Updos, you know, the ladies at lunch, those updos. But, the cutting wasn't there, number one, as it should have been. It was early.
You mean it was mostly about setting and spraying?
It was setting and spraying, yes.
And the hairdos?
Some of them look very, very pretty, but I wasn't after pretty. I was after bones. Getting into that bone structure, making it work.
And the teased hair and the...
It was a joke, really, teasing people's hair like that and making it look very presentable for the day. But what do they do the next day, you know? From 54 to 63, when I went into my own first salon, I just said, we're not doing any of that old stuff anymore. It's very pretty and nice, but...
When you started doing hair professionally, you went to a vocal coach, a speech coach, because you grew up poor. you grew up in an orphanage part of the time. You had a Cockney accent. And you wanted to lose it. So you went to a teacher who actually worked with theater actors.
Yes.
Why was your accent important enough to you to study for 3 years?
I couldn't get a job in the West End. They would say, go and learn the language. And by the way, the language is English. I mean, it was that kind of thing. And
what did you sound like before?
Bit like that then, darling. Hello. How are you, love? That's a bit Cockney.
Now, you became a shampoo boy when you were 14. You say in the documentary about you that it was your mother's idea for you to become a hairdresser. She had some kind of dream
premonition or something
that you should be a hairdresser.
Absolutely.
How old were you, and how did she say to you, I've had this dream, son. You should be a hairdresser.
I looked at her in horror. My response was, no, never. Well, what do you want to do? I don't know, but at 14, to become a hairdresser.
Why was that horrifying to you at the age of 14?
It just wasn't what I wanted to do. I wanted to play soccer, and I wanted to... I was always into, you know, I won the school championship in running, and I was into all that kind of thing where sport was concerned. I was useless as a student, absolutely useless. I never could learn anything that I didn't like.
So when she took you to a hairdresser for you to apprentice and you became a shampoo boy at the age of 14, what did you like about it? What changed your mind and made you think, yeah, this is for me?
The pretty girls. It's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
There were so many pretty girls coming into the salon as clients and others working in the salon. And I thought, this is rather nice. But I was a very average shampoo boy in the sense I could shampoo, but I mean, I was a very average apprentice. I wasn't any better than anybody else.
So when did you realize you wanted to make this your life?
Well, I was politically involved with the anti-fascist group, 43 group, and that meant that sometimes you got into a little trouble. At the age of 20, I joined the Israeli army. I was in the Palmach, which was one of their great groups. Founded by actually Rabin and Ord Wingate and a whole bunch of marvelous people. I spent a year there, came home, had nothing. The only thing I knew what to do was hairdressing, and I was quite bad at that. And then I decided, well, if I'm going to have to be in hair, let me change my attitude. Let me see if I can do something worthwhile. And, things started to happen.
Vidal Sassoon died last week at the age of 84. He spoke with Terry Gross last year.